Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Nuance Needed podcast. I'm Amanda White.
And this is Sam Dalton.
And if you are just joining us, we are two licensed therapists who break down mental health culture and pop culture. And a lot of times we will use something happening in pop culture as a lens to talk about the deeper issues.
Mm-hmm. Also, this is our 100th episode.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
It's our 100th episode.
Well, what a great way to celebrate.
The ultimate collision of what we talk about, really.
Truly.
Yeah.
America's Next Top Model is the most, such a clear microcosm of all the mental health issues going on, cultural issues, what it means for women, really our bread and butter. So we're excited to get into it today.
We are excited to get into it. I didn't know what to expect going into it. I guess maybe we should get into like what our original relationship to ANTM was. What was yours?
I watched it growing up. I loved it. I had a raging eating disorder, if people don't know. So it was a great, you know.
Motivator.
Yes, exactly. It was like thinspiration for me back then. I remember watching the Kenya storyline and very much like being like, oh, look at that. And like looking at, like I used to do this terrible thing, and I'm sure other people can relate. I would watch people who were considered fat, and I would like use it as motivation to try to not eat and starve myself, basically. So yeah, I really liked the show. I remember it started to get crazy. I think I only watched the first like 8 seasons or so, and I did not, I stopped. It's been, what, 20 years? Like, I think I stopped watching when I went to college, probably, which was, like, in 2008.
Whitney was the last season that I watched. Whitney
okay.
is the,
oh,
the,
yes, yes,
the
yes.
plus size. Which,
yes, you know, I did watch that one. I remember that.
That was the last one that I remember tuning into and following.
Yeah, so I just remember getting more ridiculous and stupid, and that was why I stopped watching. But I loved it in the beginning. I had this, you know, like I think all of us do this like pipe dream of like maybe I could be a model.
Well, if I may, you actually probably could have.
Sam.
No, like I no, I'm being serious. You're tall. You have the build.
Not that tall.
You have an angular. You have an angular face. I knew that was like, I'm watching Immortals. Like that, like when I was a kid, that's how I felt. Just because like it was the aughts. It was awful.
Yeah.
Like nobody liked themselves in the aughts, particularly like millennial aged teens.
Yes.
And I think like Gen X 20 somethings at the time. And so I like, cause Kendra and I, for those that don't know, Kendra is my sister and we share an apartment. We were watching it together and Kendra loved it. We're 6 years apart and I didn't realize how much she watched it. When we were watching it together, I didn't realize the magnitude of the messaging and how encapsulated that show was of messaging at the time of like how you should look, how you should dress, what the ideal version of a woman was and is. And I remember like just in that time of that like 2000 to 2010 period, where it was like nobody fit that ideal.
Yeah.
Like so few people, even, you know, Kenya is the perfect example of even the people on the show didn't even fit what this ideal was. And that was part of the struggle is every week in judgment, they would get mad at the girls for like not being enough of this thing that was physically impossible to be.
And also like you picked them. You picked them to be on the show. Like you decided they were good enough.
Exactly.
And then you're on the show and you're like, you're not good enough.
Yeah. I think like for me, because it just height wise, I'm 5'2". I don't stand a chance in the modeling world. And just like my hair at the time was big and frizzy. I was a little bit on the heavier side because of like my thyroid stuff and just growing up and being a kid. And so for me, it wasn't even like aspirational. I knew I was just watching a different world. And so I didn't take really like inspiration from it. I thought the reality TV aspect of it was interesting. I think that's what I more watched it for from my perspective. But I just remember like there were moments watching it where I was like, this is weird.
Yeah. I watched it for tips. I was like, great idea, only eat pickles for dinner.
See, I knew. I was like, I couldn't eat like that.
I thought I could, and then I would just, you know, go binge later. So. Right.
But this messaging of like, that's how to look like that. That's how you yeah. have to eat. And so for me, it was this acceptance of like, well, I couldn't live off of a pickle. So mm-hmm. there goes that dream.
But it is crazy. I mean, even you think of it, it's so connected to the time of like, right, that was when the Victoria's Secret
yep. fashion show
was so popular. And yeah, like we were told that you saw celebrities. That was the time where Jessica Simpson in her, right, like high-waisted pants was told she was gross. And I think what's like the most sad and insidious to me, and it is like such a reflection of internalized misogyny, mm-hmm. is we were like, you know, and I think that's the whole thing is one of my big overviews is Tyra is a victim and a huge perpetrator. And it's like that is also what we all do to each other mm-hmm. is like I remember thinking if I like judged other people for how they ate, I would then judge myself and that would make me thinner. And that was just so widespread through the magazines, through everything, how we would like pick apart women's bodies. And I think we were duped into thinking that it would inspire us mm-hmm. to be better when mm-hmm. really all it did was make us hate ourselves and everyone else.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like me watching that, it was a confirmation of my not enoughness. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I had just, it was like forcing me to make peace with what I wasn't, right? And yeah. like, I don't fit, like genetically, it's impossible for me to like fit that world. I have a very conflicted opinion of Tyra now, because yeah, I think there's a part of me that, you know, because for those that haven't watched it, the documentary opens with Tyra explaining a very brief synopsis of her career and then how she came to the idea of ANTM and how it got started and how she found the producer and the team and all that. So she does talk about her experience moving to Paris, being in New York, not being picked up for shows, having like a really hard time proving herself and realizing like she wanted to show the backstory and the back experience of what being a model is. What I have a really hard time with her narrative throughout the documentary is I am somehow equally supposed to believe she had all the power and none of it all at the same time. And I just do not buy into that bullshit for 2 seconds. And I think Tyra is an example of someone who still chooses to embrace their internalized misogyny and sexism, which we all have. Everybody has that. It doesn't matter who you are. Everybody has it. And part of the work is trying to be aware of it and aware of that socialization so you can do differently. But even in her goal of trying to do something different, it was the same thing. It was judgment. It was harsh. It was critiques. It was not enoughness. It was scandal. It was shame. And I just find it really funny that she thought she was being like inclusive of all sizes. Where? Like other than Whitney in season 10. Where?
I think the problem too, what I kept coming back to is I was like, the problem is that she is posing herself as a mentor. If you wanted to just have this show and have it be, we are going to find the next top model and we're going to do all of that, that's fine. I mean, it's not really fine, but like I would get it at least if that was just, she was like, it's tough. This is how, you know, but the problem is she tried to develop these like personal relationships with the girls. She tried to really act like a mentor. She tried to, you know, she would have like sometimes like private conversations with people. She would like collaborate with them. She really framed it as I am your big sister mentor. It's not my fault that the standards are this way, but they are. So I'm doing this for your own good. And again, it's like most of these people aren't going to make it. And you are causing a lot of harm to these people too. And you just, the interests weren't aligned. You cannot have conflicting interests of having the most popular show ever, which means, right, like doing things that purposefully cause drama on a reality TV show, wanting the genuine best for all of these girls and really trying to mentor them. And then also trying to make sure that they all like are, you know, equipped to be able to become a model outside of things, especially when, based on a lot of the people that were interviewed, and it makes sense to me, these girls weren't really set up to be models. Especially when, I think it was Joni who said it, or someone said it, of like, I couldn't even use, maybe it was Kenya, I couldn't even use any of these shots because they were so ridiculous. Like, if you actually cared about these girls becoming models, you would do a lot more things. You wouldn't have them be posing in coffins and garbage, which we'll get into of how terrible some of that stuff was. For these photos, you would be trying to do more realistic stuff and you would actually be mentoring them.
Because when I was thinking back to my experience of watching it in real time and then now watching them be reflective of it, I was trying to match up my interpretation and experience at the time to what they were telling me.
Yeah.
And what I think is interesting is like, the modeling was secondary to the show. It was everything else. It was the drama with the girls. It was the problems in the house. It was who didn't like who. Who didn't get along with what. Who, you know, ate it at the shoe. And then the drama of the judgment. And then Janice Dickinson being mentally unwell.
Yeah, she like, was that terrible. That is
beyond anything that should be encouraged or allowed in public.
Agree. And they gave her, they just said it's fine because she's the first supermodel. I'm just like, this isn't even helpful to anybody either. Like, a lot of the feedback was just ridicule. But I do think, Sam, that's exactly right. Like, what made it so popular but also so terrible was what Tyra said. It was a combination of the real world and like American Idol for modeling. And I think that if you actually cared about these girls becoming models, it shouldn't have included the real world component.
It should have been a masterclass finishing school for becoming a professional model and bringing in people that are actually in the industry.
Yes.
People that work in this industry, people that understand this industry, people that have connections, that know how to actually open doors, that are partnered with brands that need models at the varying fashion weeks, at varying events, right? For shoots, for campaigns, all of it. There was none of that. Yes, like, I'm not trying to diminish Nigel Barker's career or Miss J or J. Manuel. I'm not trying to diminish them, but they were on the fringe of that. They weren't necessarily name makers.
Well, and that was the problem because, again, this wasn't picked up right away because people didn't want to be a part of it because it was very different. So yeah, I think that it's not like another show where, I don't know, The Voice, for example, right? Where they're bringing in like very talented people to help. Again, not saying they're not talented, but like industry connected people.
It was so conflicting watching it as well, because it for me, it really opened up in my mind this back and forth debate on reality TV. Because what I thought was very interesting was hearing Jay and Miss Jay's perspectives on the importance of the exposure that it gave to their lives. And also that first that first woman who they technically like outed her on TV.
Yes.
Ebony, who like that storyline was so deeply problematic and uncomfortable. And it just it broke my heart for her in 100 different directions. But you know, same thing with them highlighting Ebony's story. That was important for teens to have exposure to and to see and to realize that these people live and exist in the world and can grow up and be successful and have careers. And I think to see women of color on TV. What I then think it switches to, though, and this is where it becomes the problematic element, is I don't know if it's possible for reality TV to remain a positive force. Because I think eventually it will always morph into, we have to find the storyline, we have to create the problem, we have to cause drama, there has to be an issue. Yeah. And then I think what's interesting is Tyra was over here saying she wanted to create this thing that was so anti all of this, but then it became a vehicle for the messaging of why these things exist, right? The sexism, the racism, the privilege, the, you know, anti-LGBTQ line of thinking and almost like mocking them in a way.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. There's no right answer. And I'm not trying to sit here and be a Puritan and say, like, we need to end reality TV. But I think there are a lot of problematic elements of it that I think a lot of people are not wanting to talk about because deep down, we all enjoy it. It's nice to watch, like, other people have problems because it feels like an escape. But then is that a problem within itself that we're continuing to watch people blow up their lives or go through the most horrific things they've ever experienced for the sake of saying, well, I need a distraction?
Totally. I mean, I think this is the problem with all the conflicting, you know, ultimately her loyalty is to making money and to the show being successful. And that is the problem. The interests are not aligned. But I also think this is the problem with making it real world plus a competition. You know, I mean, I'm not saying these people become super famous, but my husband and I are sometimes into watching like reality TV cooking shows. And like, they're not toxic, really, because you don't see them in the background. You don't see any of that stuff. You just see them cook and get judged and then leave. And that probably, like, that would have been probably the best way to actually handle this show. The other thing that you bring up that I think is so crucial to this show specifically is that it became like trauma porn. Like, they tried to pick girls with the most difficult backgrounds that are so traumatized, that have nothing left, that are desperate to get out of their situation, which makes them more desperate to do things, easier to control, easier to manipulate, than bringing in models who haven't made it yet, but are like in the periphery and actually know what they're doing. And I think it is like, I get someone from the outset being like, we're going to give people a chance who never would have a chance, but they weaponized a lot of the girls' backgrounds, and that was always obvious a bit, I think, but I never fully sat with it as blatantly as when I watched the documentary and I saw how they, yes, like they outed Ebony and like forced her to talk about it. She became a problem person. How a lot of the shoots were specifically designed around girls' fears or things that happened to them. The fact that they made someone pose as a gunshot victim because a woman's mom was shot. The fact that someone just had someone in their life die and then they made all the girls be in coffins. Again, these photo shoots like are so extreme and ridiculous. And yes, it was the time of Fear Factor. But no one paused and was like, is this helping anyone?
Anything.
Or they didn't care because they were just like, the ratings are all that matters. And yeah, it's the lack of, I mean, it's insane to me that Tyra is trying to launch a new season. And that was the whole point of looking back on this.
I have there is zero desire on my end to watch Cycle 25. I don't care.
No.
I do not care. I don't think this is a show that should still be going. I don't think it's a show that has meaning or purpose. And I think this documentary has totally lifted the veil on what this show was, is, and became. And I mean, watching the Shandy storyline back.
Whew, yeah, we got to get into that.
And that was like Cycle 2.
No, that wasn't even before they lost the plot and she lost control.
Or it was like after they had lost the plot and she realized it took it too far. I'm like, that was when the show was just getting ramped up. So, and just for Tyra to be like, I had no say over editing. Fuck off. Fuck all the way off. You knew what was going on. You and Ken were attached at the hip through that show. You were there for everything. You knew, and you exploited this young woman being sexually assaulted on camera. Then you film her telling her boyfriend. You perpetuate the narrative that she is cheating, that she is a slut, that she is a hoe, that she wanted to do this. It was one of the most atrocious things I've realized was put on TV ever.
I completely agree.
And I remember watching it, but I was too young to I remember kind of being like, oh, like, I can't believe she did that to her boyfriend.
I was a child.
Yeah. I was a child. I don't know. But that is how, like, your audience was 12 to 24. That was your audience. And you were driving home these story points.
No, and you lose all credible deniability when you go and talk to them and then are like, I know how to keep my man from cheating. I just tell him to flirt and come home.
No.
Like, you 100, that was a plant.
You knew.
Get out.
I was really, I was quite disturbed by Tyra's entire presence through that documentary. I was disturbed at the way she was speaking.
Yep.
I was disturbed at her lack of awareness. I was disturbed at this bizarre talking point media training pretend depth that she was trying to get into. And Nigel, Miss J, and Jay, I think were all a little bit trying to put lipstick on a pig.
Yeah.
But I think because they got so screwed over, they were willing to be more realistic about it. Like, even when they show, there was a clip they show Nigel, and it's something he said to someone, and he goes like,
yeah,
like he can see like, ooh, that was a problem. He tries to cover it up.
Yeah.
But I didn't see any of that with Tyra.
I think the only thing she said was with Tiffany, but it was barely anything. And it turns out the clip was way worse than what even aired.
Well, that's my thing. Like, what required lawyers?
Yes.
What did you say to her?
But when I was watching that, I was just like, again, this is trauma porn.
Yes.
And number two, it's like, this is why you should, like, it just really reminded me of like therapy and like working in a rehab and the false helping that happens sometimes of people with more power than others who are trying to help people, but really they're doing it to boost their own ego. And then they get mad when other people live their life and make different choices. And the entitlement of Tyra that this person, that Tiffany owed her participation because they coached her to be able to get her back. Again, it just like, this is not bound, like, there needs to be boundaries here. This is not, you don't own these girls. You want all of the credit, essentially, of, like, finding these girls and saving them and changing their lives, but none of the responsibility of what happens when the show ends, how the editing may completely ruin their lives, or how what even happens on the show may even prevent them from becoming successful models in the first place. And how did you not, like, look at the track record at least? And again, this is my problem with, if you talk about American Idol, it is not like Simon is a mentor who is, like, working with all these people and I handpicked these people to make them become, you know, stars. When people don't become stars on American Idol after a certain point, I don't, like, blame the judges because I'm like, you aren't actually, like, number one, typically anything happens on American Idol because it's not a real world type show happens that would make someone not want to work with you typically. But number two, they're not responsible. Where Tyra framed this all as like, I am helping these girls get discovered. So if you actually cared about that, when people weren't getting work or you even let's say you can't stop the real world component of it, why wouldn't you look at how the photo shoots are not giving people an actual portfolio to walk away from? Why? Because you don't care. Because all you care about is ratings and doing the most ridiculous thing. And shame on you for doing both. Be selfish and do it if you want, but stop framing yourself as the hero. And that's my problem.
No, a fucking men. Amen. Because this show was about Tyra. Mm-hmm. This show was about Tyra.
Making money.
And that is why Tyra is so protective of it, because it was her. Yep. It was her, and it was all about her getting to do what she wanted, when she wanted, and have this pretend charity.
Yes, yes.
That was plucking girls from obscurity, traumatic situations and life circumstances, and saying, like, look what I did. I put them on TV. And then this insane distance that you're able to have of like, well, if it didn't work out, that was because you just weren't good enough. And that's what the industry is. You're just not good enough. And I can't save you from that, but I gave you the chance. Like, that was her mindset the entire time. She saw nothing wrong with what she did. Also, the whole like, the fact that multiple seasons had a let's change everybody's race component. What? I had blocked those neurons in my brain. I remember seeing that and being like,
I didn't realize they did it twice.
No, I thought they only did it once.
Go back and do it again. What?
That's an intentional decision. And I just think everything about this show looking back was so irresponsible. And I want to try to have a like, oh, you know, but I think the girls had fun. I don't think they had fun.
No, I don't think
so. I think it was miserable. I think everybody was stressed out of their mind. I think they were being ripped to shreds. We were watching everybody's worst insecurities and fears play out on live TV and having those buttons poked at by some of the cruelest, most judgmental people I've ever seen.
Yeah, why did the panel of judges keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and people who like, yeah.
I don't know. She
shouldn't have been a judge. You can't be a judge and be a mentor.
No.
And be producing and like the show. It was just so many conflicting roles.
That's why I think it is the most like glorious load of gaslighting bullshit that you try to say to me with a straight face, I didn't know. I wasn't in charge of editing. What?
I love how they put, right? She said, I can't really talk about production. And they put across the screen, executive producer. Yeah.
Yeah. But I had no say. It's so sad. I had no control. It was
and
disgusting.
If it was that bad then, like you should have quit then if you had no control. I'm sorry. You should have.
I am so glad she didn't have a single paw print on the development of this doc, because I think it was able to be realistic.
Yeah.
And I think the people that made this documentary did an excellent job overall. I think they really highlighted the critical storylines that were the most problematic. They gave these women, who in some ways are essentially like survivors of this, the chance to speak honestly. I think what happened to Dani is an absolute travesty.
The fact that these girls, literally, when I think about what some of them have been through and how it like basically ruined their lives, and then they also didn't even become models. Again, it is like the plucking people out of specific situations, putting their trauma on display and giving them no support, resources, or follow-up, exposing them to horrible like public opinion. And then, yeah, framing it as, oops, well, you know, they just couldn't make it. They dropped the ball with their opportunity is just astounding.
It's so it's breathtaking in its cruelty. And I think they kept using the fear factor example, right? Or comparison.
Yeah.
And what I want to say is, okay, let's be very brutal about this comparison. On a show like Fear Factor, someone is eyes wide open aware that their fears and insecurities are going to be exploited solely for the potential of financial gain. Nobody is promising them anything. Nobody is telling them things will be magically better overnight. Nobody is dangling a carrot in front of their face. They say, if you go stick your hand in a vat of snakes, you might win $100,000. And someone in their mind feels that they have all the information they need to make an authentic decision for them and say, I am willing to trigger myself and put myself through that event because it is that straightforward. I am going to do weird, scary things that scare me in order to try to get money. That is a completely different realm than you are telling these women. This will change everything about your life. Your dream life is possible if you just do everything I tell you. Everything that you hate and detest about your own life will go away if you do this thing. And guess what? If you end up back in your life, it's because you're not good enough.
I love that you're saying this, Sam. I completely agree. And it's like, I'm sorry, most models are not going to model in a coffin.
No.
Most models are not going to pose as gunshot victims. Like, stop acting like their fears are legitimately going to prevent them and that this is actually helping them. Because you're right, they have no consent, and then they frame it as, well, you're going to have to be able to do anything in modeling. And it's just like, that's not true. You can actually tell, like, you can decide not to do a job if they're doing an open casting call for being buried. You can decide not to do it, or being killed. You can decide that it's too close to home. And I hated that they framed everything as people aren't strong enough and you're not going to make it because you won't do these things.
Mm.
Also, Sam, I think there was no better example of how like unrealistic this was than when Kenya was in that photo shoot where a man was touching her and she asked herself, what would Tyra say? And she tried to very professionally stop the shoot and stand up for herself. And then everyone gaslighted her and acted like she was crazy for asking for something. They said she was ruining the vibes of the photo shoot. And then they criticized her and were critical of her during the judging. And then Tyra said that what she would have done was just make a joke to the guy. And I was just like, she tried. She tried to advocate for herself and she wasn't listened to. And I'm not saying that, like, I'm sure terrible, inappropriate things happen on modeling shoots and stuff like that. But again, the fact this is Tyra being a perpetrator also, that she was just like, well, you didn't do it in a fun enough way. And you didn't advocate, you know, you don't need to advocate for yourself. You just need to be more chill. And that is the problem. When if you're on a reality show, I'm sorry, you deserve to be. Like, I know we can't control what other people are doing on their photo shoots, but if we're showing this to viewers and multiple people are there watching someone being handled who's not supposed to be touching you, and we say that she was just not cool enough, it's insane.
But then to say, oh, we don't know what happened on set, but then you pick the photo that perfectly highlights exactly what happened on set, it's grotesque. And I'm so glad you brought that up, because I think that storyline to me, when Kenya shared that story, and I remember that. I remember that episode and watching that one. And I think this perfectly highlighted this show was toxic to its core. And the reason I say that is because Tyra had done zero, from what we know, clearly, doesn't seem to have done any serious internal introspection of how she could actually change the modeling industry. Yes. Because every opportunity that she was given to do something different about a problem that is common in other situations that aren't on camera, she chose to double down, dig her heels in, and do even worse than I think what happened in some legitimate professional setting.
Because at least those people weren't on TV being ridiculed by the masses. At least those things, those shameful things happened in private.
Right. And they can work through it and they can decide, like, is this somebody I want to work through it? I want to press charges, like, whatever. Like, we all know, like, the sinister nature of this world, even if we've never been in it, right? We all know these things, like, actually happen. But that is what makes Tyra's viewpoint of this so disgusting, is she was so convinced in her own mind that she was changing the narrative around this and she was making it different. But all she was doing was giving almost a mockumentary to the absurdity of the industry. And how unfair it is, and how you don't stand a chance. And I think in some ways, it almost launched the Nepo baby model rise. Hmm. Because it became, notice how like so many of the models now, like their moms were supermodels back in the day, or models back in the day, or actresses, or whatever. And I really think it's like these women could protect their daughters and advocate for them and you like give them their connections. And they already had, you know, relationships with these brands or these organizations or these talent agencies. And I think that's why, I mean, like plenty of models who are not Nepo babies exist. But I think this gave rise to the idea of you almost need a protector in this industry to do it successfully. Mm-hmm. Like you will get eaten alive and thrown to the curb with the trash so easily in this world. And I think, you know, I mean, Nepo babies have always existed. I'm not sitting here saying like this invented the Nepo baby, but it was an interesting connection I made in my mind if I feel like it was in the tens with like the Kardashians and Kendall getting into modeling and then, you know, Gigi Hadid and Bella Hadid and now, you know, Kaia Gerber and all of these other models whose moms were these titans. You know, Kate Moss's daughter is now in modeling. Heidi Klum's children are all models. Like, I think these people, the ones who were the most successful were the ones who had the best coaching, which is what I find interesting that Tyra is showing what happens when it's the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Well, we are firmly in February right now, which many would say is the month of love. Good old Valentine's Day. However, I also think love can be expanded just beyond the typical couple's experience, right? You love your family, you love your friends, you love your kids, you love your pets. And everybody needs a little present sometimes now and then to be reminded of why we love them and we're thinking of them and we care about them. Now, I need to tell you about two things that I think would make phenomenal presents for literally anybody in your life. The first are the Cozy Earth Bamboo Pajamas. They have changed my life in terms of pajamas. I struggled for a really long time finding pajamas that I liked. They never felt fully comfortable to me. I had a hard time finding the right brand. And when I found these, it literally changed my life. I truly cannot wait to go to bed at night. The second gift is their classic cuddle blanket. Now, the story with this blanket is my heat has broken 3 times in the last 3 weeks. I'm dealing with it. Don't worry. We're finding solutions. But this blanket is the warmest, best quality blanket I have ever owned in my life. And it has saved my life in my apartment when my apartment has been 54 degrees. And in fact, at night, that was what I used to put over my duvet. And I have never been warmer despite not having heat in my apartment. So I cannot upsell this blanket enough to you. It is truly the best, greatest blanket I've ever had in my life. And the great thing about Cozy Earth is there's two things I want to make sure to point out to you. The first one is you get a 100-night sleep trial on the pajamas. So if you don't like them, you can return them in 100 days. You also get a 10-year warranty on the product. So if anything ever goes wrong with the products, but you want to keep them, you have a 10-year warranty. Okay. Now I have a gift for you with all of this said. Use code NUANCE for 20% off checkout at checkout. That's code NUANCE, N-U-A-N-C-E, for 20% off your entire order. Celebrate everyday love with comfort that makes the little moments count.
So Sam, one thing I've been thinking about, and I'm interested in your thoughts, if we were to play Let's Make This Show Work, like how could we make this better?
I think it would be insanely boring. I wouldn't find it boring. The version that I have in my mind, I would actually find insanely interesting. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. You and whoever's listening to this can tell me. But I think a legitimate, responsible, ethical documentary on the world of getting into modeling. Yeah. And when I say that, I mean finding women who are not household names, women who do not have family members in the industry. They are trying to break in either because maybe, you know, they did theater work as a kid or they did pageants as a kid, right? Like kind of finding their way into that more professional editorial world. I would love to see that experience of what it's like to go to a legitimate shoot. Mm-hmm. Or a legitimate show, or a legitimate campaign, or to be part of a real talent agency and be exposed to that world, but then see what their coaching is like, mm-hmm. like actual coaching, runway coaching, mindset, you know, if there is a fitness component involved, how do they manage that in like a healthy, responsible way? I don't know if that actually exists. But if it does, I would be interested to see how someone would walk that line, mm-hmm. like a professional trainer would like walk that world mm-hmm. with a model, and someone who does help with their walk or with their posing. Or I just think it would be so much more fascinating to be doing check-ins with this person and like watching their possible growth in the real world mm-hmm. rather than this like pretend make-believe shit show mm-hmm. where it's like, Tyra is just laying in bed giggling with her friends, coming up with these insane ideas that she thinks are funny and that she thinks it's great to like hang somebody from a roof, even though that's not going to happen anywhere else. I've never seen an editorial where that's happening. Or if they are suspended, maybe it's like 4 feet off the ground. I just think something that like actually respects modeling, because something that was the reason I kind of come with that approach is because I found it really offensive when Ken right out of the gate was like, oh, I just thought Tyra was going to be stupid. Like, I thought she was going to be dumb and vapid.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's the most absurd thing I've ever heard. Not to mention the most sexist thing I've ever heard, because who are models 99% of the time? Women. And so I think this is an industry that doesn't get a lot of respect mm-hmm. for a lot of reasons and a lot of judgment. And I think the sinister parts of it absolutely deserve judgment. But I don't think models themselves deserve judgment. And I think they get our projections of our insecurities and things we don't like about ourselves or things we wish we were. And so we just shit on these people as like, oh, you're this and you're that and you engage in this, so you're the problem. And it's like, no, it's the fact that these systems are designed to oppress these people, to take advantage of them, to squeeze them of everything that they have, and then chuck them to the side.
Yep.
Ooh, I asked myself a question, and I think this might go back a little bit to what we talked about earlier, but is it possible for someone to remain inspiring without becoming toxic?
Hmm.
I thought of that with, like, Tyra specifically. This person who had spent all of this time, like, building this brand and this persona that I think for a lot of years we all bought into, that, like, she's doing this thing and she cares and she's trying to break into the industry. And look, she's gained weight and, like, flaunting it.
Yes. When they showed her doing that, right? She had a talk show for a while, right?
And she had a talk show.
Pretended to be, did she wear a fat suit?
Something like that.
And she pretended to be homeless.
Yeah, that's.
Yes. She, in her talk show, wore a fat suit in 2005. Yes, she went incognito and was like, you know, I want to know what it's like. Oh, my God. Also posed as a homeless person. And then she also clapped back. Yeah, at people. Yeah, I mean, to me, this is the problem with her framing herself as just benevolent, because I'm just like, you are not. This is false benevolence. And you should have just, and I think that's why people were duped. And that to me is there are a lot of biggest cruxes of the show. But stop acting like this show is about helping girls when it is about you furthering your career and making money. And if you wanted to just be like, I'm a model, things are really hard out here, I'm going to show you how hard it is and maybe one person will win, I think it would have been a lot. There would have still been a lot of problems for us to talk about, but Tyra wouldn't have been like the capital P problem. But all the false benevolence, all of her like loose relationships with the girls, all of her, I care about you, I'm trying to help you, I'm going to change your life, is what makes it so sinister.
Mm-hmm. To put it very succinctly, it is about her. All of this was about her. And that's why she was so protective of it and why she was so defensive of it and why she couldn't see when it was time for something to end.
Yes.
And well, I think that is very...
because she was too greedy.
She was too greedy and she knew what she had. And I think, I don't know how much I believe the storyline that the only way to move forward was cutting all three.
I agree. I also, though, am confused why Jay wanted to leave and they wouldn't let him leave. And he said he would stay for one more season. And then he stayed for like six.
Like 10 more seasons.
10 more. Like that was really confusing to me, too. I was also like, okay, it was this torturous and horrible, but you still and there was no reflection of like why you stayed. It just was glossed over, was confusing to me.
I think this is what like so many people miss when they've been caught fucking up or doing something bad or doing something dumb. Obviously, there's a spectrum to this, but I think for something like this scenario, I think the four of them don't realize how far a simple, I feel really bad about this and we really got it wrong, would have gone.
People are so afraid of accountability. I mean, part of that is like lawyers, but still.
But also like, you did. You got it wrong.
Yeah.
All of you, Ken included. I think even that woman who was at UPN or whatever, the network executive, they all got it wrong.
Yes.
They all got it wrong. They all made bad choices that took advantage of these girls who had no power and no recourse and no ability to advocate for themselves. And they all got fed to the wolves. I was really, really disappointed.
Yeah, it was very – I left before I didn't put together that there was a new season launching. And I left the documentary being like, why bother? Why bother sitting down and having an interview when you aren't going to take any responsibility or say anything of meaning? It was truly, I mean, I've never seen anyone so, I mean, I wrote in my notes, Tyra is a politician.
Literally.
Because she was so good at this like false empowerment, and especially the ending killed me with her being like, one day, you know, you're going to be judged too. And we all need to do better. And I'm just like, but you're actually not saying what you could have done better. So what are you even talking about? This is like, it was such a good example of using like, this wasn't therapy speak, but like using the vernacular of accountability and doing better and weaponizing it to not take accountability, but pretend that you are.
It was like gag worthy, the end. Honestly, it was so syrupy and it felt so fake. And there was not, I think what it proved to me is I'm like, oh, like you do not see a problem with this.
No, you are delusional.
You're delusional. You truly think this was the thing you think it was. And you are choosing to willfully, with your whole chest, ignore the reality of what this thing was.
And do it again. What?
And do it again.
How do you not think that people are, I don't know, it's going to be fascinating to see what happens in this quote unquote new season, if they've even started it, if this documentary will change that. Because I mean, I don't see how it'll go well now.
Because I remember in, you know, when she brought up like the pandemic and how everybody watched it, I remember there was like a reckoning of people watching it and being like, this is so screwed up. Like, this is such a problem in so many ways, and the way everybody was treated and the shoots and the drama and then this and the judging and then that. Like, I don't know. It's really breathtaking, like, how she truly has no, that's the word I'm looking for. She has no perspective around it at all. And her, like, that, like, montage of her, like, melting down over the seasons after the three of them left. I don't even remember some of those because I didn't even pay attention.
Yes, because I remember being like, this is insane. You be the judge. And I think men, 5'6", like, oh my God. It was such a good montage of just like the unhingedness of her spiraling.
Well, and like, it's really hard to admit when something needs to end. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a really painful moment and realization to make. But if you truly think like you are God's gift to the earth, you're not going to end anything that you ever do because you think you're the greatest thing that's ever happened.
Can we end with me just reading out my unhinged notes?
Please, please, okay. Please, please. I want to do that.
It attracted girls with trauma and difficult family lives.
Yep.
The first season, what they did to, my God, what is her name again? Ebony. About the hair. Oh, we didn't talk about that.
That made me nauseous.
Horrific. The fact that Tyra didn't even attempt to repair. The fact that Tyra let that happen. Tyra, a black woman, not know that this would happen to her?
That's what was... I'm not a black woman. I'm not going to speak for any of them. As a white woman on the outside, I found it particularly reprehensible how dismissive and judgmental Tyra was of black women's experience on that show.
Yes.
I thought it was horrific. And I was like watching that and I'm like, she's almost more against these girls.
Yeah.
Than she is anybody else.
And I think she would probably say I was harder on them because I wanted them to win, or I was harder on them because this is the reality.
But that's the exact problem.
Exactly.
That's the problem. Like,
horrific.
Why do you have to continue the narrative that like, black women need to be treated poorly and harder because they've had harder lives? And you know, the narrative with Tiffany is that it kind of fits that like angry, disruptive, difficult.
Ungrateful, given an opportunity. Yeah. And I was like, this girl is fucking traumatized.
Traumatized.
It seemed like she couldn't read very well. And you are shaming her about this. Also, no one ever in the modeling industry, like, they also kept acting like models should become like actresses too.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they should have to, like, I'm not saying there wasn't maybe some validity to like teaching them how to be a cover girl model and talking about things, but like, that was so purposefully humiliating to make the girls read prompts with words they couldn't pronounce. You would never cold turkey be given that. I said, Janice sucks. The girl was sexually assaulted and it was filmed in the shower. They called it a crisis. Then they say and talk about cheating. Then they called the episode topic, the girl who cheated. Yep. That was the name of the episode. They made her call her boyfriend and film it. She was then filmed asking the guy if he wore a condom. Tyra's extreme lack of acknowledgement, claiming she wasn't on production. When they surgically widened that girl's teeth after closing Danny's gap. I died. All the stills for this episode are just going to be us with our hands in front of our face.
Like, I don't understand. And also, like, Kendra and I had the conversation of, like, the maintenance of a weave is not a joke. And the amount of girls that were given weaves.
And the ones that shaved their teeth, because I think they gave Joni veneers.
Yes.
Veneers only last 15 years, 10 years.
Right?
And you can't undo that. You are signing up for veneers for the rest of your life.
And that's not something that gets started at like 5 in the afternoon. You show up at the dentist office at like a 7 a.m. appointment.
Yeah, that seemed so shady with this dentist, the way that she had to sign away things, the way that she still has dental problems, that they just took out a bunch of teeth and gave her veneers to try to make them look good, but didn't fix any of the structural orthodontic issues that she has, is the definition of exploitation.
It was completely exploitative.
Oh, the executive director saying that, Ken, I think, saying that when the girls got sick, that was the best thing that happened. I said, race swapping? No, the industry doesn't make you do this. And then they did it 9 cycles later. Headdresses? They had the name
headdresses.
They had them wear headdresses?
When they whipped out the feathers, I was like, dear God.
Okay. I said, let's get better at helping women deal with the harassment that exists. The fact that Tyra told her to make a joke and deal with it when she tried to respectfully stop the shoot. The false empowerment. The traumatized women that they were trying to make into something. Tyra is a victim and a perpetrator. The fact that they used to say we need a better story out of these shots and they didn't take it. Tyra is a politician. Stop making it about trying to call us on our shit. Those were my notes.
Yeah, I didn't do anything wrong. My last note, I feel like, is the most poignant for me. And I said, just because something is of its time doesn't make it right for that time or now. And I think that is what they clung to. It's like, oh, but everybody said this was fine in 2006, so it was fine. And I'm like, well, see, the problem is anytime anything bad has happened, it's not good for that time and it's not good now. And it's never been good just because people tolerated it or were okay with it or even thought it was fine at the time. Didn't actually make it fine. Like, segregation was not fine.
Yes.
Slavery was not fine. Disenfranchisement is not fine. Like it's not fine. The way we treat women in media, the way we treat young girls is not fine. It wasn't fine then. It's not fine now. And I will give you the benefit of the doubt that you saw a hole in the media ecosystem and you filled that with the most toxic thing that you could find. But you caused harm because you perpetuated some of the most harmful narratives that exist around women. You willfully exploited that. You exploited people that were in poverty. You exploited people that didn't have resources. You exploited people that were traumatized. And you are the problem. And just because you can say like, well, back then nobody said anything, that doesn't mean anything to me. And I hate that people are pulling that argument with like a bunch of other things now, like, well, it's fine back then. There used to be this like magical day in time where all of this was okay. No, it doesn't matter. It's never been okay. This bad thing that you are seeing happen to people has never actually been okay. It's actually worse that more of you weren't against it at the time, that you weren't more bothered by this behavior and taking advantage of these people and pushing these narratives with girls. Like, I'm sorry, I don't see an 18, 19, 20-year-old as an adult. I truly don't. I guess, like, the law sees them as a legal adult. They get to make their own decisions. But that is a child. They would still be in college.
Especially when they had no power.
No.
And we're taking advantage of the power dynamics are just so, so dark. So those are our thoughts.
Those are our thoughts.
Let us know what yours are. We would love to hear from you. As always, you can leave us a comment on Spotify. You can send us an email or head to Substack. We have a lovely chat on Substack where we chat about things.
We love chatting with you every week. And here's 200 more.
Woohoo!
Bye.